You're listening to the Redeemer Theological Academy with Pastor Brian Cashelmeyer of Redeemer Lutheran Church, Los Alamos, New Mexico. On the Redeemer Theological Academy, we mine the riches of the Scripture and the Church Fathers and find in them Jesus, our Savior, our Redeemer. Here's the Academy with Pastor Cashelmeyer.
Welcome back to the Redeemer Theological Academy. Now, in our last lecture, we were continuing our conversation on Isaiah chapter 66. We got a lot to cover so that we can conclude the entire scroll of Isaiah. So let's go ahead and get started. Picking up at verse 20. And they shall bring all your brothers from all the nations as an offering to Yahweh, on horses and in chariots and in leaders and on mules and on dromedaries to my holy mountain, Jerusalem, says Yahweh. Just as the Israelites bring their grain offerings in a clean vessel to the house of Yahweh. And some of them also I will take for priests and for Levites, says Yahweh. Now here we're talking about the conversion of the Gentiles, the brothers of the new birth, both the believers from the Jews and from the Gentiles, that this kingdom expands to the ends of the earth. But in particular, we want to focus on this conversion of the pagans, the goyim, the nations, the people who were not God's people. Remember back in Isaiah chapter 56, we were told this, that I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all peoples. And as you recall, when we were discussing Isaiah 56, we were talking about the New Testament and how Jesus was cleansing the temple and using this passage and splicing it together with the passage from the book of Jeremiah. That this is the house of God, this is the place that is to be for the peoples, for the nations. My house is to be called a house of prayer for all peoples, pointing towards the conversion of the Gentiles. In fact, in the mystery of the Incarnation, Christ becomes man. He takes upon this human form for all humanity, not just the locality of the land of Canaan. Now here, notice that the brothers, these are going to be the converted ones, those who are now brothers in the faith. By faith, we are offspring of Abraham. And so we believe as Abraham believed, and it's declared to us to be righteousness. So they shall bring all your brothers from all the nations. But notice the language here in Isaiah 66, that they are to be an offering to Yahweh. In fact, this is the same language that the Apostle Paul will use in Romans chapter 15, where the Apostle Paul says this, "But on some points I have written to you very boldly by way of reminder, because of the grace given me by God to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles in the priestly service of the gospel, so that the offering of the Gentiles may be acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit." Now, this is the Apostle Paul talking to the baptized in Rome, and specifically using the language of the priestly service of the gospel. And what does he mean by this? Well, the conversion of the Gentiles. Those who were not God's people are going to be offered up as a sacrifice. The offering of the Gentiles may be acceptable and sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In fact, when Martin Luther, the Blessed Reformer, is commenting on this passage in Isaiah, connecting it to Romans chapter 15, this is where he talks about how there is a new kind of sacrifice with the offering through the gospel. That you have this, the conversion of the Gentiles, those who did not have faith through the preaching of the gospel are given faith. That the old man in them is slain and put to death. But then the new man arises so that they die to sin and they live to God. that this becomes this idea of a sacrifice. It becomes the idea of the mortification of the flesh. But in particular here, Luther's going to note that this is about the offering up of the Gentiles in the priestly service of preaching the gospel. Of course, that takes us back to Isaiah chapter 2. Remember, this is where Isaiah writes, "It shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the house of Yahweh shall be established as the highest of the mountains, and shall be lifted up above the hills, and all the nations shall flow to it, and many people shall come. And they shall say, Come, let us go up to the mountain of Yahweh, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, and that we may walk in his paths. Because out of Zion shall go forth the Torah, the word of Yahweh from Jerusalem." So again, Isaiah talks about this in chapter 2. He concludes in chapter 66 with the conversion of the Gentiles. That message goes first to Jerusalem. But when Christ is rejected by the Jews, that word is then heard to the ends of the earth as he sends out the apostles. Now, another note here in this understanding of the conversion of the Gentiles is you have from Reed Lessing, a modern commentary, Dr. Lessing notes that this word to be joined together sounds like the word for Levi in the Hebrew, that this is a play on words. Now, remember, again, in chapter 66 of Isaiah, we are told about the idea of a birth language, of motherly language. Well, this takes us all the way back to Genesis chapter 29, where you have the wife of Jacob, which would be Leah. Of course, he had two wives, Rachel and Leah. But in particular, in Genesis 29, you have the wife of Leah noting that she is being hated. And so Yahweh opens up her womb and she bears children. In particular, of course, she has she conceives and she bears the son, the first son, which is Reuben, and also Simeon and Levi and Judah. But in particular, when you have the birth of Judah, the conception of Judah, notice that what happens in Genesis 29 at verse 34. "Again, she conceived and bore a son, and she said, Now this time my husband will be attached to me, because I have borne him three sons. Therefore, his name was called Levi." That in Hebrew, there's this play on words between the word that sounds like attached and the word that sounds like Levi. The two are very similar. And so it's this word of joining together. The Gentiles are going to join together with the people of Israel, which of course goes back to the whole naming of Levi, that Jacob will become attached to Leah. Now, going back to the book of Isaiah in chapter 66, we have this understanding that from them, he's going to take priests. And for the Levites, this is the conversion of the Gentiles. Now, of course, this imagery is just, it's utterly ridiculous, if you will. Because to be a priest in the Old Testament, you have to be from the tribe of Levi. But not just the tribe of Levi, that's the Levites. You had to be a son of Aaron to be one of the priests. But yet, when we're talking about the conversion of the Gentiles, from the Gentiles will come Levites and priests, who were never biologically born of the house of Jacob, but by faith are considered true sons of Jacob, sons of Abraham by faith. If we go back to Isaiah 56, you have the same understanding that the foreigners who join themselves to Yahweh. See, this is where that play on that word is, that it sounds like the Hebrew word for Levi is to join. So in chapter 56 of Isaiah, the foreigners will join themselves to Yahweh to minister to him, to love the name of Yahweh and to be his servants, everyone who keeps the Sabbath and does not profane it and holds fast my covenant. That in Isaiah 56, you have the conversion of the Gentiles, and now that joining together, that God is bringing together those who have been separated by sin, and he's going to make them priests from the Gentiles. Or you'll see this echoed in the prophet Zechariah, in particular Zechariah chapter 2. "Many nations shall join themselves to Yahweh in that day, and shall be my people." and I will dwell in your midst, and you shall know that Yahweh of hosts has sent me to you. Now again, here we have in Isaiah 66, Gentiles serving as Levitical priest. Now what this pictures for us is the end of the Old Testament. You see, the Old Testament was temporary. It was for a time. But when Messiah comes, the old is put away and the new has come. So now the message goes out to the ends of the earth. And from this gospel proclamation, there is new birth to be born from above by the Holy Spirit. This work of converting the heart, making people not God's people into God's people. Now going back to Isaiah 66, we pick up at verse 22. For just as the new heavens and earth that I am about to make shall stand before me, declares Yahweh, so shall your offspring and your name stand. Now here we have, again, the new creation resulting from the incarnation. Christ is the promised seed of the woman who will strike the serpent's head. He is the offspring that we've been waiting for. But then through him, you will have many who will become adopted children of God, sons of God, by grace through faith. And so this new creation is the result of the incarnation. This is how he brings the restoration of all things. Now again, here in chapter 66, you have the new heavens and new earth. Well, that's what we had back in chapter 65, in which the prophet writes, "Behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former things shall not be remembered or come to mind." Only God can create out of nothing. Only God can make this new thing. Now, this is how we're ending in chapter 65 and 66 about the new heavens and the new earth. But recall with me the opening of Isaiah chapter 1, way back in the beginning of the scroll. Chapter 1, verse 2. "Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for Yahweh has spoken. Children have I reared and brought up, but they have rebelled against me." Now, to rebel against God is to put yourself in this situation of opposition, that you become enemies of God. This is the state of fallen creation and animosity to the Creator, but God who brought things into existence from things that did not, spoke the word of life to bring forth life. And it's that word that will be heard that brings forth the new heavens and the new earth. Remember again in chapter 1, these were rebellious children, sons who would not listen. And throughout the whole scroll of Isaiah, we are taught to focus our attention on the true Son of God, the only begotten Son of God who was not rebellious, but was obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. But it is from him, the true Son, that many sons are brought into existence. So this new creation, that offspring, brings the regeneration. Now, it is a plural here. Before, back in chapter 59, you had the singular, the one offspring, which was the Messiah. And he's going to bring now many offspring, the plural of the seeds, the many sons that are all brought forth from Mother Jerusalem. Now let's go back to 66 at verse 23. "From new moon to new moon and from Sabbath to Sabbath, all flesh shall come to worship before me, declares the Lord." The new heavens and the new earth, the new creation, the new worship, the new moon. Now here we're using that language of the moon and the rest and the Sabbath to point toward the eternal rest that we have in Christ. And again, notice the emphasis is on all flesh, including the converted Gentiles. Just like Joel says in chapter 2, "It shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh." And again, it's the work of the Holy Spirit, the person and work of the Holy Spirit who converts hearts to faith through this preached word, the message of salvation found in Christ alone. Now going back to Isaiah 66, we pick up at verse 24. "And they shall go out and look on the dead bodies of the men who have rebelled against me. For their worm shall not die, their fire shall not be quenched, and they shall be an abhorrence to all flesh. Now, I want you to notice a similarity between this passage in the New Testament, in particular, Mark chapter 9, in which Jesus says, "If your eye causes you to sin, tear it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than with two eyes to be thrown into hell, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched." I mean, this is the language of this eternal ongoing destruction, this ongoing punishment. Whereas Isaiah 57 says, "There is no peace for the wicked, says my God." These are the unbelieving, unrepentant, those who refuse to listen, who reject the Word of God, resist the Holy Spirit, and rebel against the Father. This is a universal judgment. Now notice that when Isaiah concludes his entire scroll about this new heavens and new earth, this is not a universalism that everybody gets saved, but instead there is a universal judgment. There are those who hear the word, rejoice in the voice of the Lord, and go on into eternal life. But on the other hand, there are those who will be separated out that go to eternal judgment. In fact, this is how we confess the faith in the Athanasian Creed. The Christ will come to judge the living and the dead, and at his coming, all people will rise again with their bodies and give an account concerning their own deeds. And those who have done good will enter into eternal life, and those who have done evil into eternal fire. This is the Catholic faith. Whoever does not believe it faithfully and firmly cannot be saved. So notice this image of the fire here as judgment and destruction. Their worm shall not die, their fire shall not be quenched, and they shall become an abhorrence to all flesh. Well, look in the New Testament at Romans chapter 2, where St. Paul writes to the baptized in Rome saying this, "But because of your hard and impenitent heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself on the day of wrath, when God's righteous judgment will be revealed. He will render to each one according to his works. To those who by patience and well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, he will give eternal life. But for those who are self-seeking and do not hear and obey the truth, do not believe, but obey in righteousness, there will be wrath and fury." Now again, notice that distinction, that separation, I should say, between the believers and the unbelievers, the repentant and the unrepentant. Or as Jesus says in Matthew chapter 25, where he describes this separation, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory and the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him he will gather all nations, and he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goat." The goats, that is. And he also says in Matthew 25, "Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. However, he will say to those on his left, Depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels.'" We'll look at John's Gospel in chapter 3. "Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but instead the wrath of God remains on him." Or, of course, in John chapter 5. "Do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming when all who are in their tombs will hear his voice and come out, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of judgment." Or Jesus says in John chapter 8, "Unless you believe in me, you shall die in your sins." Now here we have come to the end of the entire Isaiah scroll. We've covered all 66 chapters. But the way that I want to conclude is going through each chapter and picking out that theme verse that we talked about over the course of years when we discussed Isaiah. So let's go first to chapter 1. Chapter 1, verse 18. "Come now, let us reason together, says Yahweh. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool. Remember, that's how chapter 1 opens up. God does not take delight in the death of sinners, but that they would repent and live. So when we move into chapter 2, verse 5. O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of Yahweh. As John would say in the New Testament, as we are in His light, as we walk in His light, His blood cleanses us from all of our sin. Isaiah chapter 4, verse 2. In that day, the branch of Yahweh shall be beautiful and glorious. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 3. And one called to another and said, Holy, holy, holy is Yahweh of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Therefore the Lord Himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and she shall call his name Emmanuel. Chapter 8, verse 14. And he will become a sanctuary and a stone of offense and a rock of stumbling to both houses of Israel, a trap and a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Chapter 9, verse 6. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Chapter 10, verse 21. A remnant will return, the remnant of Jacob, to the Mighty God. Chapter 11, verse 2. And the Spirit of Yahweh shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of Yahweh. Chapter 12, verse 1. You will say in that day, I will give thanks to you, O Yahweh, for though you were angry with me, your anger turned away that you might comfort me. And then in chapter 14, verse 1, for Yahweh will have compassion on Jacob, and will again choose Israel, and will set them in their own land, and sojourners will join them, and will attach themselves to the house of Jacob. Again, that's the conversion of the Gentiles. Chapter 16, verse 5. Then a throne will be established in steadfast love, and on it will sit in faithfulness in the tent of David, one who judges and seeks justice and is swift to do righteousness. Isaiah chapter 21, verse 9. And behold, here come riders, horsemen, and pairs. And he answered, Fallen, fallen is Babylon. And all the carved images of her gods he has shattered to the ground. Chapter 22, verse 22. And I will place on his shoulder the key of the house of David. He shall open, and none shall shut, and he shall shut, and none shall open. 25, verse 8. He will swallow up death forever, and Adonai Yahweh will wipe away tears from all faces, and the reproach of his people he will take away from all the earth. For Yahweh has spoken. Chapter 26, verse 1. In that day this song will be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. He sets up salvation as walls and bulwarks. 27, verse 9. Therefore by this the guilt of Jacob will be atoned for, and this will be the full fruit of the removal of his sin. When he makes all the stones of the altars like chalk stones crushed to pieces, no asherim or incense altars will remain standing. Chapter 28, verse 16. Therefore, thus says Adonai Yahweh, Behold, I am the one who has laid as a foundation in Zion, a stone, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone of a sure foundation. Whoever believes will not be in haste. Chapter 29, verse 13. And the Lord said, Because this people draw near with their mouth and honor me with their lips, while their hearts are far from me, and their fear of me is a commandment taught by men. 32, verse 1. Behold, a king will reign in righteousness, and princes will rule in justice. 35, verse 40, verse 1. Say to those with an anxious heart, My people, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God. Isaiah 42, verse 1. He himself Behold, will come my and servant, save whom me. I uphold, my chosen, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. Chapter 43, verse 25. I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. Chapter 44, verse 22. I have blotted out your transgressions like a cloud and your sins like mist. Return to me, for I have redeemed you. Chapter 45, verse 23. I have sworn by myself, a word that shall not return has gone forth from my mouth in righteousness. Every knee shall kneel to me, and every tongue shall swear allegiance. Chapter 48, verse 16. Draw near to me, hear this. From the beginning I have not spoken in secret. From the time it came to be, I have been there. And now Adonai Yahweh has sent me and his Spirit. 49, verse 6. He says, is it too light a thing that you should be to me a servant, to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to bring back the preserved of Israel? I will give you as a light for the nations to be my salvation to the ends of the earth. Chapter 50, verse 6. I gave my back to those who strike and my cheeks to those who pull out the beard. I hid not my face from disgrace and spitting. 52, verse 10. Yahweh has bared his holy arm before the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. 53, verse 5. But he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. 54, verse 1. Sing, O barren one who did not bear, break forth into singing and cry aloud, you who have not been in labor. For the children of the desolate one will be more than the children of her who was married, says Yahweh. Chapter 55, verse 1. Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and he who has no money, come, buy, and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Chapter 58, verse 1. Cry aloud and do not hold back. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Declare to my people their transgression, to the house of Jacob their sins. 59, verse 20. And a Redeemer will come to Zion, to those in Jacob who turn from transgression, declares Yahweh. 60, verse 1. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of Yahweh has risen upon you. Chapter 61, verse 1. The Spirit of Adonai Yahweh is upon me, because Adonai has anointed me to bring good news. 62, verse 11. Behold, Yahweh has proclaimed to the end of the earth, say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your salvation comes. Behold, his reward is with him, and his recompense before him. 63, verse 9. In all their affliction he was afflicted, and the messenger of his face saved them. In his love and in his pity he redeemed them. He lifted them up and carried them all the days of old. 64, verse 1. Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains might quake at your presence. 65, verse 17, for behold, I create a new heavens and a new earth, and the former things shall not be remembered or come into mind. And finally, 66, verse 22, for just as the new heavens and new earth that I am about to make shall stand before me, declares Yahweh, so shall your descendants and your name stand. And we want to end with the image of the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world from Isaiah 53. Out of the anguish of his soul he shall see and be satisfied. By the knowledge of him, the righteous one, my servant, many shall be justified, and he shall bear their iniquity.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Redeemer Theological Academy. For more episodes or to leave comments about this show, please visit our website, RedeemerTheologicalAcademy.org. Again, that's RedeemerTheologicalAcademy.org. Thanks for listening, and may our Redeemer Jesus Christ continue to be your life and salvation, your hope and your peace.